Good afternoon, everyone. We are going to start with the meeting now. Now, what am I supposed to say? Okay. Come here. All right. Fine, thank you. You'll teach me that one the next time. I'd like to welcome all of you present at this meeting today. It's good when a person thinks you've almost completed the oversight, because it's only safe today. And then tomorrow, members, don't forget, we're having the AG's office. And the AG is going to speak to us on the provinces, basic education, our provinces. And the meeting will be at 10 o'clock in B119. It's E305. You can tell me that's not B119. Alright. B119. And Loewen is certain about that. What I'd like to say before we start the meeting, I must thank SAFE. You know, with the Teachers Award, the Educators Award. The Honorable Nina was there myself. And we really enjoyed it to the fullest. And to see the caliber of teachers that we have. Members, you know, when a person watches e-news, just after e-news, then they'll show us these achievers. And some of those achievers were part of the awards. And I complained a bit in the Eastern Cape, because I think there were only a few. Yeah, only two. And I told them it's a sinful shame, because I'm sure there are other teachers that's just so good like those two. The majority of the awards, I think, went to KwaZulu-Natal. Yes, because I could see the Honorable Nina up and down. Because even from her area too. Yes, and there were quite a number from the Western Cape, but there were less than KwaZulu-Natal. But I think the competition was between KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. Are you listening, Honorable Dikobo? All right. The competitions were between those two provinces. But I think who did very well was KwaZulu-Natal, number one. Number two will be Limpopo. Number three was Western Cape. And then we were last. You know, there was still Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, Free State. They were all here at the bottom. So I must congratulate those teachers. Yes. And now not yours, Limpopo. Yes, it was us at the bottom. But I'm sorry about that. Even Gauteng couldn't keep it here at the top. But I congratulate the members sitting here with the provinces. that receive those awards. And I think what's going to be important, we have to encourage our educators. Because the National Department has these awards, and SAIS has the awards. So we have to encourage our teachers to participate in it. Because I'm sure there are many unsung heroes when it comes to the teaching fraternity, you know, that we could have, you know, so get into, so that we can make this event a very big event. And with those few remarks, we are going to start with the meeting. I'll ask the members just to introduce themselves, and then ask the members, then I'll give over to SAIS. And I think all cell phones have been switched off. I'll start with you, Honourable Dudley.
Carolyn Dudley, member of the committee, and apologies for tomorrow. I'm in health and international relations. I'm available again on Thursday.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is J.J. Scott, I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Crosby Moni, an additional member of the committee.
Committee member Walmart James. Good afternoon, Jake Vicobo, committee member, and I'm from Limpopo, Jefferson.
Good afternoon, I'm Nomadu.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm Nomadu Nerugina, member of the committee. I'm from the Kingdom of KwaZulu-Natal.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Silent Makurel from Limpopo as well. So I don't know what is it about.
Willie Madisha, member of the committee.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
South Africa.
Are you from Kansas? No, but I really like to know from Kevin.
I'll tell you. Don't worry.
I don't like that, but yeah. Honorable Adisha, don't worry. It was just that I started with it. You know, by saying which provinces received the awards and how good the provinces were. Now they want to show off here in front of SAIS. You say they're from that province. And I'm now a bit worried. Are you back from Mpumalanga? Yeah, but on the Eastern Coast.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Reg Brijraj, CEO of SAIS. Thank you.
Chair, I'm Jyoti Briet, also Councillor of SAIS.
I'm Siri Dipolo. I'm the COO at SAIS.
Morris Mapindani, CFO SAIS.
Mr. Samuel Lekwa, CFO DBE.
Manufacturer, DDC, DBE, and also a councillor at SAIS.
Reverend Brown, committee secretary,
Christian Fritter, Textbook Development Institute.
My name is Tubasa from the FABC.
Alan Mbonzi from Pongi.
Hi, I'm Faith Kwaza from the Parliamentary Communication Services.
I'm from the Times newspaper.
From the Times.
Lula Mamaja from the FABC. Thanks a lot for our introduction. And there's still one person on the side, yeah? Matt?
Alistina Server from Liberger.
Thank you. So on Volgina, you can see today we are not on television, but SABC is here without the camera. Thanks a lot. We'll start with, is there any apologies? Because we're quite a number.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Apologies received from Honorable Mashishi, Honorable Smiles, Honorable Kaniyako, Honorable Punchani. Thank you,
Chairperson. Thanks a lot. We'll note those apologies. In it comes Mr. Bridge Rush, we're going to start. Hi, then I'll hand over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, for this opportunity. To the members and colleagues, a very good afternoon to you. Sidi, you want to help me with the presentation? The team is led by myself, and as you've heard, consisting also of the COO, the CFO, and the Dr. Briet, the three of us are employed by council. And Dr. Briet is a counselor and executive member. He is not employed. He does not get remuneration. I am the only fortunate one that is a counselor and also employed by SAFE. The presentation highlights activities undertaken by SAFE as detailed in the annual report for the fiscal year that has gone by. The activities are related to the strategic objectives set by the council, as you will see. Reference will also be made to some pertinent events after the period under review and key challenges because they are related. The order of presentation will be as follows. I will kind of give an overview of the main highlights, and I'll also touch upon research and outreach. The COO will deal with the mandatory functions of SAFE, the three main functions of SAFE that the law requires us to fulfill: registration of educators, professional development, watching over the professional development of educators, and safeguarding ethics in the profession. The CFO will deal with the support functions, mainly the finances, and then we will have some interaction. I will come in after the COO just to add a little bit more on outreach because of the way in which the PAC was organized. I must start off with bringing you greetings from the council, which is led by Mr. Makhobe Mapila. He sends his apologies. He is not able to make it today. The first point that I want to highlight concerns our stability, Chair. You will recall last year and the year before that, we seemed to have had an unstable period because of the doubt regarding our finances. We had battled to get our levies increased, and in our environment it is not a simple matter because we need to have a lot of dialogue with the ministry and the unions, and all stakeholders have to agree. So that generally takes time, and it's always been like that. But of course, once they agree, then we have full support, and they did agree last year. Although we got the money much later in the year, which had some effect that you will detect in the report of fulfillment of all of the objectives, but the CFO will speak to that. The increase was from 2 rands, from 6 rands to 10 rands, which meant a 4 rand increase. But really 2 rand 40 was dedicated to the saving of money for the new building. You will hear more about the new building because we were staying for free in the ELRC building for a long time and then had to occupy two buildings, and eventually the ELRC needed its space. So the council at long last took a decision to secure its own building. And it looks like we would have saved enough money in 3 years' time to actually buy that building outright. The cost of it is about 60 million eventually, and our occupancy is scheduled for about late next year. So one can see that the space is kind of finding its feet. Even regards continuing professional teacher development, the funding stream for that and the methodology is now beginning to settle down. Thanks to the hard work of all of our partners, particularly departmental officials, who battled to make sure that we do get monies to set up the infrastructure, the management system, which we will talk about a little later. So that funds have come in, and we now are even more fortunate in that there are legislative amendments. And thanks to members in this House and other members and to the departments for pulling their weight to make sure that there are legislative amendments to the SAFE Act, which now empowers SAFE officially to manage the CPTD system and also to obtain additional funding from Parliament. It's a matter that we will raise a little later. So SAFE is kind of legally now having that duty. So there is no doubt as to whether SAFE should perform the managing of the CPTD system or not. There has been culmination, I think, of about 7 years of labor to come to that conclusion involving all stakeholders. Although you will hear that there is still sort of lack of clarity in different places about SAFE's particular role in terms of CPTD, which I'm sure I will be able to explain and others will be able to explain to this August House. In terms of progress, we have kind of had another deep look at the focus of SAFE, and now that we have got a unit that manages research, policy, and planning, we have an upgraded strategic plan, and we have had a lot of research activities and programs. And you will see that the council has for long been asking for us to make informed recommendations to the ministry, to the departments, to stakeholders regarding various issues that pertain to teacher professionalism. I have carried for the information of the House these documents, and if it is necessary, we would be able to furnish you with packs. There are many booklets and brochures that we have prepared, research policy for SAFE. We have got a professional assistant facility policy. So all of these policies that are noted there and elsewhere, we have SAFE's strategic plan. We've done research on teacher supply and demand so that we could inform the ministry about what SAFE's view is. And the upgraded definition and roles of SAFE is now available, teacher migration, and even a position paper now has been prepared on the FET educators. SAFE is busy lobbying for a view that says that the FET educators could very well find a home in SAFE. Members need to reflect on that and to give guidance. because there is another model of where FET educators may wish to have their own council. And there are some complications that need to be unraveled. For example, those lecturers come under higher education, whereas teachers come under basic education. So I'm hoping that there is a little more discussion on that, so that all of those who facilitate some form of learning and teaching can come into the state's umbrella. But it is a matter that is open for discussion. Then, Chair, we are also now trying to do more and more communication and advocacy and outreach. There is a feeling in council that this should be the central pillar of faith, where we go out to the school communities, we go to different parts of the country and preach about our code of ethics to try to instill this culture that the president is calling upon of all our teachers being in school on time, being prepared and teaching for the whole day. So it is something that we have been a little behind with because of our funding constraints, but it seems now that the space is available thanks to the department's funding for CPTD. We would be able to become far more visible. The criticism that faith has not been visible enough must be accepted by us. And we really want, as the months go and the years, to become far more visible, because it is a feeling in council that we need to be far more proactive to get to different parts of the country and make sure teachers don't make mistakes, rather than waiting for teachers to make mistakes and then dealing with them, which we also do. So in that section of our work, which is growing, like the research policy and planning section, these two new sections, we now have the call center and the teacher assistance facility located. We have now, on council instructions, have regular meetings with stakeholders, and by stakeholders I mean also departmental officials, the ministry, on topics that we feel should be discussed. And with the limited resources that have been, you will see a little later, a lot of contact with teachers. We have very good relationships with all of the unions, and when they have, for example, their congresses and meetings and seminars, we are always invited, so we make our presence felt. Then in that section, you will notice that we have, not sufficiently, but produced quite a few pamphlets which we could favor the House with, and on what SAFE does regarding registration, what SAFE does regarding the CPTD system, you know, very easy, quick to read material. We have got the Code of Professional Ethics and the rules around that. Then, as you know, we have prepared a newsletter this year, and maybe we should favor the House with that at some point, and you've seen the annual report. So that section is really picking up and doing, you know, the kind of outreach that is necessary for an organization that is trying basically to preach professionalism. If somebody had to ask me what is the fundamental task of SAFE, I would say that it is to preach professionalism amongst educators. Of course, to do that, you have to do a number of things. And then, of course, we are fortunate in that we have now developed a network in Africa. We co-chair with Nigeria the African Teaching Regulatory Authority, which is an attempt to spread professionalism throughout the continent. And we are succeeding so far. We have got, I think, 11 countries that have got some kind of regulatory authorities in the country. Some of them come directly under the Departmental of Species, and others are independent. But only Nigeria and ourselves have the kind of independence that faith has. So we have had that, and we've also celebrated the National Teaching Awards, World Teachers Day, as the chairperson has mentioned. I also must bring to your attention that we are also co-chairing the International Forum for Teacher Regulatory Authorities. It happened after the period under review, so it's not in the report, where we have hosted an international conference of all the regulatory councils throughout the world. There were, I think, 14 of them present. And we are co-chairing a steering committee with Jamaica and others, and the next one will be held. So South Africa has kind of made its mark in international professionalism for teachers and even continental professionalism for teachers, which I think is holds our country in good stead. We are fortunate because there are not many, many countries that have professional councils for teachers, surprisingly. You would find that some of the teachers that have far less robust unions than we have do not have teaching councils, and when you probe and we discuss, they will say that it is because the teachers' unions don't want a council that will police them. So I think it's a credit to our teacher unions that really they don't have a hassle with being part of a professional council that watches over the professionalism. It is something that we need to note with appreciation. Then, Chair, the mandatory functions, the COO will report to, and the support services. I just want to harp a little bit on that word satisfactory. I must admit, as CEO of this organization, that our performance and our delivery has been of a satisfactory standard, which means there is good, very good, and excellent above that for my school teaching days, and fair, weak, and poor before that. So it's a kind of a middle performance, I would say. And there are many reasons as to why we are performing at that level. But the most important reason for that is because of the unpredictability of funding in the past period that were under review, the late arrival of that funding, especially the levy money that came late, threw us off guard. And also in terms of the constraints of employing new staff members because of the budget. But it seems now that we are set to deliver at an enhanced level. So in the course of the report, when you scrutinize the objectives and how much of it is achieved, the admission has to be made that we are operating at a satisfactory level, which gives us a lot more room to improve, I must say. Then, Chair, let me just conclude with a few challenges. The 1.40 that we are left with after the 4 rand increase, which brought us from 6 rand to 10 rand, now, if you consider that this is the increase that we're getting after about 5 or 6 years, it doesn't really even take into account inflation. So one can imagine how much of enhanced delivery you're going to get with that. Now, this is not a matter that the council is unaware of. We are going to engage with the unions, the ministry, and in terms of the new legislation to see what new funding model we could come up with so that SAFE has at least another few rand to really go out and do intensive outreach, advocacy, and make sure that the profession kind of is called to order in those parts of the system where it is not so. So in 3.2, I re-emphasize that fact, and I am hoping that as the next year unfolds, that will be a matter that we would not be facing again. Then, Chair, we have the question of lack of uniform understanding of the roles of SAFE and the department. And I even hear of the ELRC and other entities regarding continuing professional teacher development, ethics, registration. I think that is a matter that requires urgent attention so that all of the roles can be clarified and unnecessary duplication can be eradicated. Fortunately, thank you, Chair, for inviting us on the 1st of November, where we will give you a very detailed presentation on what is going on regarding continuing professional teacher development from SAFE's side, the pilot that has taken place. Hopefully we will have our departmental colleagues, because we have been working in a kind of a joint venture on this to come so that we can check what needs to be refined and where we have to change direction. So that I think is very important for us to make serious efforts to make sure that departmental officials, parents, teachers, everybody understands the different roles that are played by these different organizations. And I'm sure we will be able to talk more about that this afternoon as well. Before I hand over to Ms. DiPolo, the COO, who will then take us into the real business of faith, I must record our appreciation to, firstly, our council. I must say, colleagues and members, that our council is one of the most vigilant ones that we've had. They are extremely hardworking, very critical, but extremely supportive. And thanks to that kind of dedication, I think council is set to move much quicker. Then, of course, for the minister, for enabling faith, providing the legislation, and always having the door open for us to raise issues with. The DBE, the Department of Basic Education, definitely for the promotion and support and for battling on behalf of faith for many of our difficulties, and they have been overcome. They also provide us with intellectual expertise, because they have supplied us with the experts that sit on what is called a joint task team, which you may have read about in one of the policies, and give us good sort of assistance in terms of how to conceptualize and unfold what we have to do. So we're grateful for that, amongst the other things that the department supports us for. Then, of course, the unions, and as I said earlier, that is a matter that gets little recognition about how cooperative the unions are in buying and promotion of professionalism. Of course, the portfolio committee and members of parliament for kind of facilitating legislation and raising issues, and then the other educational communities and teachers, definitely, for the acceptance of the role of faith. There hasn't been, in the many years that faith is functioning, one voice amongst teachers that says, we don't need this organization in our lives. So that's a bit of an achievement. With that, Chair, then I want to, with your permission, hand over to Ms. DiPolo in terms of the order of presentation. I'll just maybe make a few comments after that again on outreach, and then we'll go to the final part from Mr. Mapindani. Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. The first mandate will be around registration. One of the key areas that we're looking at is based around two things: to make sure that we register all qualifying educators. But I think I need to qualify that statement by saying, because of the number of educators out there in our schools, we have to ensure that every educator that is standing in front of our learners is registered. So hence, when you look at registration, you'll find that we have different categories of registration based on the fact that we have teachers who are in front of our educators, and we need to account for them. So we have those educators. Our second issue that we have to do is to maintain a credible database of all registered educators. That has been quite a challenge for some time, with us having to ensure that we have a credible database. We are on our way on ensuring that database is being credible. There are common issues, or less issues, that we are busy cleaning up to ensure that when we look at the site database, we can be assured that these are the teachers in the country and what is it that they are teaching. Currently on the register, we have plus minus 490,854 educators. 34,828 have been captured in the year under review. Out of those, 13,168 are your general educators. By general, we mean those educators who do have a teaching qualification. Those are the general educators. Provisional educators are those educators who are still studying towards a teaching qualification. 14,000 of them are still on there. Then we have educators out of the country, which we also put in categories of foreign normal educators or foreign provisional educators, depending on the qualifications that they have. And then 4,885 educators' registrations are pending. Now, those that do have registrations that are pending, are your educators who do not have a teaching qualification, might have academic qualification, but have outstanding issues. For example, your educators from foreign countries, there are qualifications. Let's take educators from Zimbabwe. Most of them in this previous year do not have permits, and one of our requirements is to have a permit. Now, because they were moving into the new system that is being done by Home Affairs, those educators had to continue teaching, but they keep on. They have outstanding documents that they need to bring in for us to be able to process it further. But so that we don't hamper the schooling system, we then have an agreement with the school to say we'll register them on a conditional basis until we have all those particular documents that are outstanding brought in. The FAPE database has been cleaned up to reflect the current situation on the educators registered. However, this process is still ongoing, and hopefully in the next report we shall indicate progress. One of the highlights that we want to bring in of what makes the database not to be thoroughly on there. When FAPE says registered, every educator was given an opportunity to register. That's one. Secondly, there were different categories in our country of dispensation who had different ideas in a point in time. Those ideas have changed, and when educators come in to upgrade themselves on the system, you'll find that if they don't know the last 3 digits that they used to have, they're able to find themselves on the database. Now, those are the kind of things that we're looking at and cleaning at. And then ladies who got married or divorced, one of the two, they also have that issue when they come back with a different surname changing. That causes an issue on our database, but we're busy also on cleaning up on that one. And that's basically it on the issues of registration here that we're looking at. The second mandate that we have is professional development. One, we have to ensure that we facilitate the professional development of educators. And I think, as my CEO was saying, we have to be very clear and say that we are not a service provider. We just facilitate professional development of educators. And then is to know that and understand current challenges in the profession and make recommendations. We promote and enhance the status of teaching of the teaching profession. That is why we have programs like the World Teachers Day. From the first one here, then we're talking about the CPTD pilot, which is now completed or on its way to completion. We're busy with the status report, which we're enhancing, and I think when we come to present in this committee on November 1, we'll be able to bring a more comprehensive report that talks to a way towards the closure of the pilot and then recommendation to what needs to happen next. In the process of CPTD, what we have done is that we have endorsement structures established, because one of the criteria or roles that states need to play in this professional development or in the CPTD is to endorse activities from providers so that we ensure that they talk to what needs to happen in the classroom situation. Currently, we have 52 providers that have been approved. This has been a slow process of providers because we've been dealing firstly with the educators or the members themselves and the schools. We are only now in this current year that we are reviewing and looking at how many providers are out there. We had, at that point in time, 119 PD activities endorsed, 757 educators provided with PDP guidelines, and 160 educators workshopped and PDP and ITMS on substandard number 5. CPTD research study on professional development is now completed, as I said, and we're busy wrapping up and cleaning out what is on there. Out of that progress, one thing FAPE has developed is its own research unit, which the CEO will talk about as soon as I finish on this presentation. The last one, which will talk to your biggest outcome in the country as being your education, as the president has highlighted, is establishment of a teacher assistant facility program, which we also introduced in this current year in the World Teachers Day on the 6th and 7th of October. What we are trying to encourage on this one, as we're going around in the different schools, picking up what teachers are going through, we have developed this particular teacher assistant facility program so as to help educators, because the view out there is that FAPE is seen as this committee or a council with a thumbbook. And we want to change that view to make sure that teachers are members of the council, and we need to ensure that we are there to assist them in all the issues that they pick up. One of those that we're partnering with is around the eradication of the underperforming schools in the country through the educational accord that was launched recently by the minister. And that means that we participate in national projects. We have currently just partnered with Belgium in trying to ensure that we have teacher development for FET college lecturers as well.
The third mandate, Chair, that we have is the Code of Ethics. Our role is to compile, maintain, enforce, and from time to time review the code, and then to ensure the identification and finalization of alleged breach of the code that is being sent to SAFE. The code and the disciplinary procedures were reviewed during the year under review, and the revised procedures are distributed to the profession and to the schools. We've convened a lot of workshops on the SAFE Act and recommendations made in relation to amendments in the SAFE. Now, Chair, one of the things that we've picked up as we go around and do this particular workshop, that educators are really not aware of what they should do. You say to educators, a parent can come to complain to SAFE of what a teacher has done during the weekend, because you are bringing the profession to distribute in the community. Educators seem not to be aware of that point. And now one of the roles that we are busy doing is to ensure that educators are workshopped to understand, so that when they decide to break the law, they know exactly what is coming for them. So our role that we are busy doing now is to ensure that our educators are on par and they understand what we are doing. These amendments were presented to the DBE for consideration as part of the amendments to the SAFE Act. The number of complaints that we received under the year review was 440. 358 of these complaints have been finalized. Now, if you look at the way we finalize the cases, we look at the cases that we receive. Out of the cases that we have, four of them were teachers that, when we looked at this and hearings were happening, teachers were found not guilty. But 35 were found guilty. And out of the sanctions that we gave, 17 were struck off indefinitely. Now, when it comes to struck off, we have struck off indefinitely where you cannot come back into teaching. We have struck off for a period of time where after that period you can come back and reapply, and upon the SAFE appeals committee looking at your reapplication can then consider. But there are areas that you need to follow that we put to say, for example, you attend anger management and all those type of things. But there are cases where we can't, then you're struck off indefinitely. Then we get cases that we redirect, for example, to the ELAPC, because the teachers who come to us on waiver issues where we feel that the ELAPC can be able to help us, or issues where we feel the department is an employer-employee relation and the department needs to handle those issues, we refer them back to the department. Advisory notes, majority of these are cases where they have been handled by the province, we've been given the outcome. Upon us analyzing, we realize that it's been handled satisfactorily, so we just give the educated advisory to say, be aware that your file has been handled to SAFE, and the sanction that you've been given is also the number of months or years that the file is open on your behalf, in case you make yourself guilty of the same issue again. We've done 21 mediation, and I must say, Chair, despite the fact that KwaZulu-Natal in the World Teacher Day has received many awards, majority of the mediations are also in KwaZulu-Natal. Most of the mediation are in KwaZulu-Natal, and it's issue of professionalism within educators. KwaZulu-Natal, as I say, is leading quite in that. We have your racial issues, we have your principal versus your post-level one issues, and then you find them again in the Western Cape as well. We have appeals currently, which I said, if you are having a struck off, which you have the right to appeal after some time, it comes back. And then we have cases that are not applicable to SAFE, where, for example, a husband will write to say the wife is having an affair with another teacher in the school, and we feel that those are issues that SAFE does not have any jurisdiction and need to look at, and it's issues that need to be referred somewhere else. And Chair, those are the three mandates that I was going to present, and my CEO will just come back and finish on the publicity and communication and research. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. Sir, you may start.
Thank you, Chair. Not for long. The research, CD, is, I will refer the honourable members to the annual report. It's on page 22, which gives you all of the details of the different areas that we have researched and what we are busy with. I just want to go to make a few comments on program 4 before the CFO takes over, and I think that is the critical part of our presentation. In terms of publicity and communication, and this has now come into the CEO's office, just like policy planning and and research, the council feels that these are kind of overarching functions and that need to be located in the CEO's office. So I manage these functions, of course, with the appropriate managers there. And this section has got three sort of objectives. One is the image building and corporate identity. The other is outreach programs. And the third is the accessibility of space. In terms of the first one, the division has put out a number of publications, made posters, the usual kind of paraphernalia that any similar organization will present. In terms of the second target, B, we have participated. Much of our time, and especially the CEO's time, goes in dealing with the media, whether it's radio interviews or television interviews. But we really take up those opportunities because it is an opportunity for us, as council sees it, to preach professionalism. And then, as I've said earlier, we do not hesitate, and all of the unions now easily invite us to their functions. We managed to engage with all of the SGs in the different departments and with all teacher organizations, the unions, and even the other stakeholder groupings like the Association for Independent Schools, National Association for School Governing Bodies. We have, on council's instruction now, developed this new way of making sure that all of the stakeholders have been consulted or at least explained to in respect of some of the important things that SAFE is doing. It's something that SAFE never used to do much in the past, and as I've said, it is this new council's kind of vigilance regarding these areas that need attention. As I've said, we've hosted these conferences, and in terms of target C, as I said, we've established a call center. This call center and the education assistance facility is something that we are particularly proud of because very often teachers do not seem to know where to go for matters that affect their well-being. Very often we get calls regarding pension difficulties, or where there is a dispute in a school promotion situation. Now, none of it actually belongs to SAFE, but we feel that if you really want to call SAFE the professional home of educators, then they should be able to get direction, at least from SAFE, as to where to go for their particular difficulties. Like you would hear about in terms of professional development, we will give a whole menu of activities and programs that will be available. So we'd like to see ourselves growing very much more in that direction so that teachers would know that SAFE is not just a body that waits like a bulldog to come and bite them, but it is more like a shepherd dog. It watches over the well-being and assists them. With those few words, Chair, I want to hand over quickly then to Mr. Mapindani, our CFO, and he will take us through the finances, the administration, and the accommodation issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. First of all, one would like to indicate that SAFE operated positively. This time we did not have any cash flow or deficit. We never obtained a qualified audit opinion. In terms of the council's operation, which went very well, the council was discussing the levy increase last year, which they took a decision with effect from 1st of July to increase its levy from 6 rand to 10 rand. This increase, one would indicate that was, when you look at it, it increased our revenue from the previous year by almost 67%. The intention for that
was for sustainability purpose, and the issue of office accommodation, which I believe this House knows very well, that this issue was on the table for the past 4 or 5 years, and SAFE could not get settled in terms of its own accommodation. We would like to present this financial report in this component. The first one will be the financial position, then financial performance, statement of changes, and statement of cash flow. When we come to the statement of financial position, you will realize that it's true that our position reflects a positive image. When you look at it, unlike in the past where we had a lot of, were on the negative part because we had the creditors which we could not honor. One would like the members to note that there is a decrease on assets, which the cause is that there is an offer to purchase the property which we have in Fisaki Street, which the council accepted before the end of March. We have a building in Fisaki which, after even this committee and the public cautioned us that we're not supposed to spend a lot of money in rebuilding that building, the council went back and took a decision to dispose of that building. So when we closed our financial year, there was an offer which the council had accepted for the building to be purchased. So therefore, we had to remove it on the top as a fixed asset, but you'll see it at the bottom indicated as part of our assets because it hadn't been signed off our books. Then you also realize that there's a decrease in debtors compared to last year because when we closed our books last year, there was 5.7 million, which due to some delays, it delayed to come from the Department of Basic Education to fund our professional development. In terms of our equity, it includes, when you look at that figure, it includes the debtors, cash in the bank, and our assets. So you will also note that there is a decrease on payables because our cash flow has improved after our levy increase in July last year. Then we can move to our statement of financial performance, which is also known as the, in the old terminology, we call it the income statement. You realize that our revenue increased for the same reason that the council increased its monthly levies from 6 rand to 10 rand with effect from July. And you'll realize that there is also a decrease on operating expenditure. When we talk of operating expenditure in this context, we are referring to all expenditure line items, including our mandatory functions. There was a decrease in terms of such expenditure, which therefore the reason is that we, because of the cash flow pressure that we had before the increase of levies, we had to scale down so that we do services which you can afford to pay, because we couldn't rely on the levies to be increased before it gets increased, as that took us almost 2 years to settle. So that made us to decrease our operating expenditure so that we live within our own means. You'll note on that, on those records, that we do have a surplus of 12,601,000 for that financial year, for which 9.5 as planned was transferred to the building reserve fund, and the 3 million which was unplanned, we requested the Treasury to retain it for the purposes of smooth running of SAFE, which we got the approval 2 weeks back from Treasury.
Now we can move to the statement of changes in net assets. You'll realize that there is an increase in net assets, which is caused by the surplus for the year, which I've just declared is 12 million. Then what I like to explain again, the net assets of 29 million, which is shown there, comprises of the value of that building that we spoke about, which is in Fisak Street, which is also in the market, and cash on hand, and the value of the office equipment after depreciation. Then the last statement which we present is the statement of cash flow. What you will notice there is that we have 55 million generated from members in the form of registration fees and levies. That makes our total revenue for the year. And when you look at those statements, you'll realize that there is 4.1 million which is converted into assets. Those are assets acquired during the course of the year. And 13.9 million was on hand on the 31st of March 2011. In terms of the administration, currently says the staff complement of 67, and when we close the financial year, end of March, all key positions of council were occupied. One would like to indicate that the administration of council, we assess it and feel that it's sound. In terms of accommodation, we are still facing some little bit of a challenge since currently we're operating in from two buildings which are apart from one another. And one would like to indicate that that can be solved, although it's a temporary solution, because the building where the CEO is located has to be revamped by the owners of the building because of the development regarding the Gautrain, which has got its station there. So they are saying end of December we should move out. So we seem to be fortunate that we are getting space in the other building where our other colleagues are located. The next point one would like to indicate is the property we purchased earlier is in the process of being sold, the one which is in Fisak Street in Pretoria, in terms of the council decision, is being sold. An offer has already been accepted by council, which one would like to indicate, because the very same offer now was saying up to end is valid up to the end of November, and I said earlier that it was valid end of March. Up to end of March, another bidder, we're waiting for another bidder to get funding for the purchase price of the building. They could not succeed. Put the building again in the market. Another bidder again won the bid. The offer is still valid until end of November, waiting for the bidder to secure funding. One would like to indicate that we have already vacated ELRC building at the end of March because they indicated that they wanted to use their building, and we had to ensure that we are sharing those two buildings, which I've just said now, we'll find ourselves sharing one building where we will be renting. The council has taken a decision to build a reserve fund for the acquisition of the premises within the next 3 years. I think the CEO has explained in detail about that. that marks the end of our presentation. Thank you.
thanks a lot to the the CFO. Is there anything that you would like to add, sir?
No.
All right, fine. I'd like to thank you for the comprehensive report, but I'd like to just speak to basic education. Would you like to add anything at this moment? Fine. The floor is now open to questions, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me appreciate and welcome the report we get from FACE. It's a comprehensive report indeed and very informative. Chair, the first presenter has spoken about the feeling of educators to have their own counsel, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know whether I've captured you well. In your own thinking as a company, what are the issues maybe that influence educators to feel that they may have their own institution, certainly? I need an answer on that. And also the criteria you use when you identify educators who perform well in various schools from various provinces. And another one, Chairperson, is the one of registering foreign educators. The requirements thereof. Are you working together with the Home Affairs Department to ensure that you are not registering a defaulter, or you just do that on your own? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. With the fact that we do need teachers, obviously, and teachers are coming into the country, are there any problems around the registration that's making it difficult for people that we really do want to be up and running and working? Are there any, is there any bureaucracy in place that shouldn't be there? Is there anything that needs to be done to make it obviously not easier to take on board people we don't want to have on board, but to take on those people that are really needed? I didn't quite get the CPTD thing. I know you said it would be explained as we went, and I never kind of linked it all up, so maybe you could just point me to that. Also, the FET lecturers, what are the arguments from the side of FET? Obviously, I'm assuming it would benefit SAFE some degree, and so I could imagine your argument would be positive in terms of it coming under SAFE. But what are the problems coming from other areas that are saying that it shouldn't be under SAFE? And was there a loss on the purchase of the building, on the sale? You purchased the building, you're now selling it. Has there been a loss? Is it significant? Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will also want to add my voice on the fact that we are seated here with a comprehensive document and want to appreciate that. I have two small questions. The first one is, you see, this registering of educators versus the fact that we have educators, unless it's something changed the past 3 years that I checked. Educators that after they register with you, of course, but then we have educators leaving the country and we remain without country. Do you have anything that will match your registering with the data of the post, like vacant posts, such that educators can be assisted by the very same body after being registered that we know for the fact that they are posted this part? I know it's a little bit too much to ask from, but are you able to direct the educator after you register me and I don't know where I'm going to teach? I'm trying to put on the shoes of the educator. That's the first one. The second one is this offer to patients that has been accepted. It's like, I'm not sure, man. It's like it may be concluded by the end of November. It may be. Do we know for sure that it will be concluded by November? Do we have time frame? Because you say May. Ah, we may talk about this in next year. Okay.
Thank you very much. One of your core responsibilities is to provide professional development to teachers. And I would like to know how much money you spend on professional teachers development against your budget. What percentage of the money that you have you spend on teachers in terms of their development?
Can you just start? Quite a few questions. I don't know if I was going to happen. But the first one relates to the increase from 600 to 10 rand. We are told that 2.40 thereof, in other words, I'm talking about the 4 rand part, 2.40 is for securing the building. And this may happen in August of 2012. Well, of course, the other thing relates to the arithmetic of the CEO. Because CEO says 140 is not enough. I thought 240, subtracting 240 from 400 is 160 and not 140. But we will not quarrel about that. Now, what I'm is my understanding correct to say the real increase, therefore, in terms of operations is 160, and come 2012, when the building has been secured, the membership fees will therefore drop by 240? Just that clarification. Is my understanding correct? Because this is just for to get the building. As soon as the building has been acquired, membership fees will then drop. The other thing is that maybe the CEO can say a little bit more about this thing of confusing of rules. Because I don't know, from where I stand, it should be very clear. It should be very clear what the rule of SAIS is provided for by the SAIS Act as amended. We understand the responsibilities of the employer, which is, by the way, among others, to develop her own employees. So I just want to understand where is the confusion. The other one, Chairperson, relates to the keeping of the credible database. And I was looking at the stats. I think the COO talked about half a million registered educators. I don't know, is he able to say, well, but of the 500 and whatever, 1,000, these are those who are in active service now. And these are, you know, maybe they have left. Now I'm just asking, think of myself. I left teaching last year. So I'm on your database. But does your database say that I've left? So I'm just trying to check that credible. I like the word credible, so that we can be able to account for. The other one, providers that have been approved, the number is 52. The question is, how many were disapproved? In other words, how many applications did we have? Or we approved 52 out of 52. It's also important, if the information is not the chairperson, maybe the agreement could be that they've worded out. One would like to know the spread. Where do providers come from? These ones that have been, can I be told, for example, how to this and this? And chairperson, the question relates to the fact that you go to other provinces, they say everything is given to people in Gauteng. So I want just that assurance to say there is a first